Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in thanksgiving and thanking you, Father, for the many blessings that you have given. And Father, we're thankful for each one that's here present this morning. And Father, for those that are listening by radio, we pray a special blessing upon them this day, and those who are ill, those who are in trouble in any way, that Father, that as your word goes forth, it might lift them up and comfort them, Father, that they might seek you and your help. And Father, for those who are joining us by radio in Tennessee, we ask a blessing upon them this day, that as they listen, that they would be encouraged by your word. And Father, for those that were mentioned, we lift them up to you in prayer, the great physician, that you would look over them and care for them. And Father, for those unspoken requests that we have, that we ask that you would be with them and help them, Father, and let all things work together for your honor and for your glory. And Father, we do pray as your word goes forth this day that it will fall upon receptive souls, that the souls might be saved, that you would send forth laborers into the harvest, Father, that as we see the time approaching, we need those who are willing to sow the seed, those who are willing to cultivate, and those who are willing to water. For the Bible says, one plant, one water, but God gives increase. And Father, we are to plant, and we are to water, we are to cultivate. And Father, we ask that you send forth laborers into the harvest, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is a very interesting chapter of 2 Timothy, and at first glance, you begin reading over it, and you begin to just kind of look over it. But in this, I want to point out something here that maybe you have seen. But this chapter has to do with services and rewards. And we find that in the Bible that there is going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And the Bible says that a man is going to receive the deeds done in his body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And while we're here, we are to serve the Lord for rewards. And we find in this second chapter of 2 Timothy that there are seven different characters the believer is called upon to represent here in the world. Now, this is very interesting. There's seven characters in this one chapter that we are to represent, and we're going to go through these, and I think that you'll find that this is a very interesting chapter. At first glance, you read over it, you kind of miss these, but when you go to study, you find that it has a message in there that is for you and for me as the children of God. In verse 1 it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now look at this. The first one we find that a son. We are the children of God. Now the Bible tells us in John and chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe in his name." So you see, the first we are here on this earth, we are the sons of God. Now I know that there are those who say that all men are God's children. We are all God's creatures, but only those who are born again are God's children. You see, they are the only ones that can look up and say, "My Father," our Heavenly Father, or call upon him as Father, because they have been born again. In Romans 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So therefore, you see that we, when we become born again, we become sons of God, or children of God. Now that doesn't mean that it's just sons. It means sons, daughters, or whatever. In Christ Jesus, the Bible says there is neither male, female, bond, nor free. You're all one in Christ Jesus. So this covers man, woman, boy, girl, whichever it might be. You are a child of God, and therefore, because you are a child of God, he says, "There, therefore, be strong in the grace." in the grace. Now, in Romans 6, it tells us that we have access into this grace wherein we stand. Because we are the sons of God, we have a way into this grace where we stand. Now, we are saved by grace. We're not saved by the good works that we do, but we're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we stand in grace. The Bible says that is our standing. We are standing in grace. And it says that we walk in grace, you see. And grace is unmerited favor. And God gives us all of this strength to do this. It says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, that's where you're going to find it. That's the only place that you're going to be strong, and that is in Christ Jesus. You're not strong in yourself. I'm not strong in myself. We are strong in Christ Jesus. Paul said, in weakness, then I am made strong. When we become weak unto ourselves, when we realize that there is nothing that we can do ourselves, then we become strong simply because we cast all of our cares upon Him. We lean heavier upon Him. We draw from that grace which God has given unto us, which we have a right to go to Him as sons and say, my Father, Heavenly Father. And then we have a right to ask Him of the things that we have need of. And as we found in Sunday school this morning, it says that He answers our prayers because we are His children. So it says in verse 2, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, because you are a son of God, because you have been born again, he says, these things that thou hast heard. In other words, the things that you have learned through experience, through Bible studies, through your own reading of the Bible, all of these, what does it say? It says that we are to commit to faithful men. We are to teach others who shall be able to teach others. You see, we are to pass it on from one to another the things that God has done in my life, the things that God shows me through the Spirit in His Word. We are to pass it on one to another that others might be able to be taught in the things of God. Now, we find that this is what a son is to do. Now, look at verse 3. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, because you are a son, you are to endure hardness as a soldier. You are, the second character would be a soldier. Now, the Bible tells us that as a soldier, we're to put on the whole armor of God that we might withstand the wiles of the devil. We are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the figure of a soldier, and some of you here have been in service, and when you realize what a soldier is, it really speaks loud to us. A soldier is one that suggests obedience to orders. Now, the first thing I found out when I got at Yamasee, North or South Carolina, and going to Parris Island, was that I didn't know nothing, that everything I was told to do, I'd better do it, and I'd better do it before they told me. And that was kind of hard to figure out how I could do these, but that's how fast they wanted the orders obeyed. You didn't belong to yourself anymore. You belonged to the Marines or Army or whatever branch of service that you might be in. So it suggests obedience to orders. That's the first thing that you learn. You have to be broken. And so it is when we come to Christ, we have to be obedient, willing to obey what He tells us through His Word. And we have to have, in the service, you had to have discipline in your life, rigid discipline. It wasn't just flopping around doing your thing. You had to have discipline in your life. You were highly disciplined and molded into a good soldier, one who could have the body in suggestion and subjection, and one who was brave. He was not afraid to go out into battle because he was disciplined to follow orders, and when he was given the orders to move forward, he moved forward. He did not want to retreat. He wanted to go forward, and so it is as a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us here, we're different from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Israel was to go out and they were to conquer these nations. They were to go out after flesh and blood. But we're not here in this earth. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you see, it's not a flesh and blood battle. It is a spiritual battle that is going on. And we are to have that sword of the Spirit. We are to go forward. We are to teach others at any cost. We are to put on the whole armor of God, that when Satan attacks us, that it might, the blows might be thrown off of us. And it says in verse 4, "Now no man warreth entangling himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." And our eyes to be fixed upon the leader, the commander-in-chief, that we might be able to go out into this spiritual warfare and follow him, because he is the leader. He is the one that opens the way. He is the one that protects us and watches over us in this battle. He's the one that gives us the ammunition that we might go out as the sword of the Spirit goes, and there we are to spread the word of God. Now we find in verse 5, "And if a man strive for masteries, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." Now here we find another one, and that is an athlete. And I think that the Apostle Paul really enjoyed the athletics of that day, because we find that many places in there, now you guys out here that like wrestling, it's all right, because he said we wrestle not against, he was likening that to a wrestling match, and here he likens it to many things in there, and I think that he loved athletes, and here he was in a race, he's talking about a race, he said all run in this race, but only one receives a crown. And you see, when we run in a race, we must participate according to the rules, or else we're disqualified. When you go into a contest, and you go into any contest that you have, you must go according to the rules, or else you are disqualified. And many of you probably remember the story of Jim Thorpe, the Indian, years ago, that was participating He went to the Olympics, and Jim was a great athlete, and he won many trophies, and he won many medals. And one of the rules was in that they could not have been paid. They could not be professionals. They had to be amateurs. Well, Jim, a few years back in his life, had played baseball for $5 a week or $5 a month or something like this. It wasn't very much. But he had participated, and he had received that small amount for playing baseball for some team. So he got back to America from, I believe it was Stockholm, Sweden, where the Olympics was held. And when he got back to America, they wrote in a few days to him and told him that he was disqualified because he wasn't going according to the rules. And he had to get all of his trophies and all of his medals and return them back, that they might give them to others who qualified. So you see, he had to go by the rules. Now that sounds cruel and inhuman, but the rules was that they could not be. And this is the way it is with any game that we play. There are rules, and if we participate by these rules, and this is what he's saying here, he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And first, before we can enter into this contest, we must be the children of God. We must be a soldier in the army of God. And these are the rules. And therefore, then we can go out. Look at verse 6. We find another character here. The husband that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. And here we find the farmer. The husband that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Now, when a farmer goes out, what does he do to plant a crop? He just doesn't go out and reap this crop. There are certain steps that he has to do. He has to go out and he has to clear the field. He has to plow it, disc it, harrow it, plant it, cultivate it, and then water it. And there's many things to do before that he can reap reap the harvest. And we too, there we must first be partakers of the fruit. In other words, we must first have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, because the Scripture says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he is none of his. He is disqualified, and therefore he cannot be partakers of the fruit. You see, when I grow a tomato over there, and I watch for that first one to get ripe, and I want to be partakers of that first fruit. I don't particularly like tomatoes, but when that first one comes out there, I want to be there ready when he gets just ripe to pluck him out and be partakers of that. And this is the way that it says here, we first must be partakers of the fruits. In other words, we must be the children of God, and then we are in where we can plant. We can go out and sow the seed of God, and we can water it, and we can teach others and what Christ has done and what Christ is doing. He says in verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now he wants you to consider, meditate upon what he has said. And this is one of the great things that you and I as Christians can do. And when we read a scripture, and when we read a few scriptures in the Bible, we can go out and meditate upon these, and then it opens up a broad field, because the Holy Spirit will take that word and begin to work in your heart. Look at verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Look at this. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now what does he go back to here? He goes back to the basic, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is no other gospel. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And if we're going to be partakers of that crown, if we're going to receive that prize, the Bible says all run a race, but one receives the prize. If we're going to receive that crown, we must go back and remember that Jesus Christ upon that rock is where that we must build. If we build upon anything else, the same as wood, hay, and stubble, it will not last. And we find in 1 Corinthians 9:25 that this crown that we're going to receive is incorruptible. Everything that we have here on this earth, and the trophies and all these things that we get, they pass away. They will be gone. But this crown is an incorruptible crown. It will not pass away. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, we receive the crown of righteousness. This is the rewards that you and I will receive if we are a child of God and a soldier in this army, and we are an athlete running this race, and we're a husband that's planting these seeds and watering and passing it on to others. In James 1:12, we receive the crown of life, and it tells us also in Revelation 2:10 that we shall receive the crown of life. Isn't it wonderful to know that we as children of God, we have these crowns that God has given to us. In 1 Peter 5:4, it says there is a crown that's unfading. It will not fade away. And it's good to know that we are running this race. Oh, it's not in vain, my friend. You as a Christian today, a striving for the masteries, and you in this battle that has that sword, that are going out and teaching others today, it's not in vain. And my friend, the commander-in-chief tells you to go forward and walk in his grace. You see, it is a walk. It's not a standstill. It's not a retreat, but it is advancing forward. It is a walk, and we are to go in, and we are to possess our possessions, because he has given them unto us. Now we find in verse 10, he says, because I am, and because I teach the death and burial and the resurrection. In verse 9, he says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Look at this. This was a man that was in prison. He said, because I do this, because I am a soldier, because I am in this battle, the spiritual battle for Christ. He says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer. They think that I'm one that stirs up trouble, but I'm not. He says, they bound me up, but one thing, he says, the word of God is not bound. Now maybe the buck stops at you, my friend, but if you've passed that word on to someone someone else, then it goes on and on and on. It's like throwing a pebble in a still pool of water. This is the way that I think that the gospel is to be spread throughout this world. It's to start with you and it start with me. We're to take it and we're to sow that out. And if you throw a pebble in a stool and in a still pool of water, what do you see? The first little ring that goes out is small, and then another little ring, and pretty soon it'll cover that whole pond that you might have of that still water there. And that's what we're do with that word of God. We're to take that seed and we're to plant that seed, and it begins to spread from me to my neighbor, from his neighbor, and it goes throughout the world. He says, I suffer trouble because I preach the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, he also says that I endure, in verse 10, all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Look at this. He says, I endure all things. He realized that being a soldier was going to be hard. It wasn't going to be easy. He probably remembered the words that Jesus said, if you're going to build, sit down and count the cost to see whether you're able to finish it or not. He said, you're going to enter into a battle. He said, Satan is going to attack you. He can't have you. You're mine, but he's going to attack you. You're in this world. It is a world that's full of your enemies. He said, take that spirit and put on the helmet of salvation and go forward. Put on the breastplate of faith and be shod with the preparation of the gospel. Oh, my friend, put that on as you go forward and spread it. In verse 11, it says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Look at that. Now it says, if we be dead with him, in other words, we're to die to self. The Apostle Paul, and we can say along with him, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He counted himself indeed to be dead and unto sin, but alive through Jesus Christ unto life. It says in verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Look at that. Does suffering have anything to do? If you suffer for God's sake today or Christ's sake, look at this. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Oh, yes, one day there is going to be a resurrection of all, and we're going to reign with him in that time. There will come this time when we will live and reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Oh, you can go about in this world today, and you can deny, my friend, but he said, if you don't confess me before man, I'll not confess you before my heavenly Father. You see, we are to tell others, and this is our mission here on this earth. This is the reason that we're here. He just didn't save us just to go to heaven, which will be our end, but my friend, he saved us here that we might go out and teach others, that they might teach others, that it might go out and some might come into the harvest of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. In other words, we're not going to stop his work. It's a going forth. You can believe or you can believe not. In the Bible, it says that some believed and some believed not. God recognizes that fact, that there are those who are not going to believe, but yet you're not going to stop him because he cannot deny himself. You see, he is faithful to himself. He is a risen Savior. He is all-powerful, and he cannot deny himself. And verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not to profit about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Now he says, don't be nitpickers, don't be hair splitters, because it does no good, but stay to the basis of death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel, because when the man is converted, when he comes to receive Christ as his Savior and the Spirit comes to indwell him, that Spirit will teach him. That Spirit will take the things of Christ and show him unto him, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Teach him about the death, the burial, the resurrection, that Christ died upon Calvary, that his sins is forgiven, that he can have a new life in Christ Jesus. Now we find the fifth in verse 15. We find the fifth character here that we are to see. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, name, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now look at this. Here it is, a workman. We've all heard this verse many a time. Study to show thyself to prove unto God a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why are we to do this? We're to be a workman for him. We are to take the word of God as we hear it and study the word of God, and we are to listen to the word of God, and then we are a workman for him, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is our mission here, and I pray, God, that we do rightly divide this word of truth, that we do tell it as it is, thus saith the Lord. This is what we need in our churches today, to say, thus saith the Lord. We've gotten away from that so much because man doesn't want to hear what God has to say. He wants to make up his own religion. He wants to make up his own Christ. But my friend Paul says, no, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound, simply because I preach the simple gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, we as workmen, we are workmen for him, and we're not working now, and we're not striving for our salvation. That has already been settled. God has given us that, but we are working to help others to come into the kingdom of God. You remember how those were concerned about this poor man. They heard that Jesus was in the village. The man was crippled. He was lame. He couldn't get there. There was no way he could get in the presence of the Lord. What did they do? They grabbed the stretcher. It's important that this man come to the Lord. It's important that he get there. And when they got there, there was such a crowd about him that there was no way that they could get to the Lord. And what did they do? They wanted to be sure that he got in the presence of the Lord. They began to think, and they seen a house with a thatched roof. They got up on top of that house, and they took that roof apart, and they let him down in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, we need workmen in our churches today. We need people who want to be stretcher bearers, if you would, to bring them in to the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell others. Don't be ashamed to go out and tell others. And if your church don't preach the gospel, for goodness sake, don't go to it, and don't send nobody else to it. But if your church is preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel, don't be ashamed to tell them to come and hear the word of God. Oh, my friend, be a stretcher bearer and bring them in and let them down at the feet of Jesus, that he is the one that might heal them. That's the only way that man is going to be saved today, saved by the grace of God. We cannot save them, but we can bring them into the presence of the Lord, where that they can hear the word of God. And this is what he's telling us to do, that we must, the husband, he must first be partakers of the fruit. He must plant it, and he must work out here before he partakes of the fruit. And my friend, when you begin to labor for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will begin to partake of the first ripe fruits. He'll begin to give you some of those blessings that you will receive throughout eternity, and certainly that crown that he has for us as laborers in his vineyard. You see, he hired us to go out into the vineyard and do what? He hired us to go out and to labor in that vineyard. And verse 21, here's the sixth one, and I'll move on here real fast. Verse 21 says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Here we find that we, as the children of God, are a vessel, and we are to contain what? That wine, that Holy Spirit that God has put within us, and we are a vessel unto honor. Sanctified means to be set apart for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Look at that. We are a vessel. The body says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God dwells within you. That is a vessel, that we are the lamp holder, and he is the light. The Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and do what? Glorify you? No, glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, not glorify us, because we too are sinners saved by the grace of God. The only thing we have to glory in is what Christ has done for me. He's gave me salvation. He gave me a new life. He took me up out of the miry clay, as the song says, and he set my feet upon a solid rock. And though the waves of this world and though the storms of this life beat against it, they cannot tear that house down. It's like the old saying, it was built out of brick. The little pig came up and the old wolf, he huffed and he puffed, but he couldn't blow that house in, because that house was made of something solid, and our house is made of something solid, and that solid rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've got your anchor in him today, if you've got your feet in him, it doesn't matter. You take up that sword of the Spirit as a workman for him and as a vessel that contains the Holy Spirit, and go forth into this world and tell others about Christ. And the next one, the last one, would be in verse 24. This is the seventh. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Look at this. Now we find that we are a servant. As we said before, you cannot serve two masters. You're going to serve one or the other. This is what the Bible says. You cannot serve two. You must serve one master. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. If you go to serve God, then serve God. If you're going to serve Baal, then serve Baal. You cannot serve them both. He gives you a choice today, and he says, a servant of the Lord must not strive. In other words, when I first started out, I thought that you were to go out and you were to get them in the corner and you were to pound it into their head. This was my thinking, that you were to make believers out of them, that you could get them up there and out argue them. What a mistake that I made. I found out that you're not to strive with them. You see, you don't have to defend a cage full of lions. There's no way. You just open the door and turn them loose. And I think that's what so many of us today are trying to do. We try to defend our faith. We try to defend the Word of God. You don't have to defend it, my brother, because he says here, he cannot deny himself. Just open the door and let it out. My word shall not go out void, but it would accomplish what I have said it to. You see, God has sent that word out to accomplish what he wants it to. This servant must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patience. And this is what we need. Oh, I need patience. I need to be able to teach, and I need to be gentle to all men. I need that patience that I might be gentle, and I think that we should ask the Lord for this. And verse 25 says, in meekness instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. Look at this. In meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. Yes, there will be opposition, but let it be gentle. Let it be done in the love of the Lord. Let it go out and peradventure that they will come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, my friend, let's go out and spread this gospel. You see how important it is? The Word of God is so important, and God says, go out and tell others about it. And in this chapter, this is what Timothy is telling this young son, that of the faith that he had no doubt led unto the Lord, and he's instructing him what to do. And my friend, it's instructions for you and I as children of God today. And as we recap, we find here the first was a son. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and then we become a soldier in his army, and we're to take that stand with him. He's the commander-in-chief. We're to follow his orders. We're to go forth into battle at his command. And then we're an athlete. We're running this race in this life here. And oh, my friend, it says we'll not win that crown unless we strive lawfully. Be sure that you're in Christ Jesus today. And then you're a husband. You're sowing that seed, which is the Word of God today. And one plants and one water, but God is going to give that increase. And then it shows that we're workmen. Once we plant that seed, what are we to do? Just let it lay idle? No, we're to cultivate it. The farmer went out and he sowed a seed out there and he planted corn. I know back in Tennessee in those flats, you planted corn, and if you didn't work it almost immediately, the morning glories would come up and you couldn't find the corn for the morning glories. And this is what we're to do with the Word of God as we send it out. You see, we plant that Word and then we become a workman. We help cultivate this Word of God, and we help those who are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We become a vessel fit for the master's use, and a servant that is not afraid to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve him amongst all opposition. positions. Oh, my friend, you see, it takes much more than a man. There's no man in this world today that is man enough to be a Christian apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? You cannot be a Christian apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, because you will not stand the persecution. You will not stand all this that comes at you. You cannot stand it apart from the grace of God from you. Jesus was not a sissy. Everybody thinks he was a meek, mild little man that went about. You think about it, when he went into the temple, and what did he see? He seen the money changers in there, and he seen these thieves and robbers, and what did he do? He made him a whip of small cords, and he got that whip, and he overturned those money tables, and he began to chase them out of that temple. And I want you to think about who he was that he was chasing. He was chasing the worst gangsters that ever was. He was getting where their living was, these people who were making a living, and he chased them out of that temple. If you want to follow a commander-in-chief that is strong, that is brave, that is beyond what your mind can comprehend, then follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a broad way that leads down to destruction. It's no effort to go that way, no effort whatsoever. You can just follow the crowd, no effort at all, and you can go down to that road to destruction. But my friend, when you turn and go against the tide, you'll come against much opposition. That is a reason that if you're going to strive, you must strive lawfully. You must be a child of God. You must not be afraid to take the sword of the Spirit and go out and spread the word of God.